Hi, this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. And I want you to know, as a listener, that everything, everyone that comes on here, everything I do is to support you in having your true heart's desires, your dreams come true, and living a life of daily, hourly, minutely miracles. And I'm starting to do a series on prosperity, because it's a thing that many, many people are working on. And I have signed up with Edwin Gaines to be a master prosperity teacher. And so she will be one of the guests, and we have a very special and wonderful guest that I ask often to be with us, because she is one of the most dear and pure and harmonious and beautiful beings that I have ever known, and because her daily and hourly and minute-to-minute life is given to service both of people and animals. The Reverend Sharon Callahan of Mount Shasta. Welcome, Sharon.
Thank you so much, Iris, for having me on your program. It's always just a wonderful and delightful thing to do, whatever our topic is. And I think the topic of abundance is actually just absolutely wonderful.
Yes, and there's several things I want to cover today, and I just sort of want to outline them. One is, I want to get your definition of prosperity. I want to know what your ideas are about how the way we treat animals affects our prosperity. And I want to sort of cover to me, one of the most important ingredients of prosperity is that we all commit to being all that we came to be.
Yes.
And you're a person who has done that and outwardly manifested it and continues to on a daily basis. And I am so loving that.
Oh, thank you, Iris. And when I, knowing you as I do, as we grow to be more intimate friends, I see that also reflected back to me in your life. I think that your number one question, you'll have to remind me of the questions now as we go along, because I have a terrible memory.
Don't worry, I've got a bunch of them.
I think probably not having a memory has been one of my strong suits, because I only remember and dwell on things that are good and positive.
And in present time.
And in present time. And I think that, I mean, there's so many things now that are written on prosperity or abundance. I think if we talk about prosperity or abundance, we're really talking about the same thing. And in my mind, abundance, I would have to go back in definition to abundance to something that my own spiritual teacher said to me years and years ago, is simply that abundance is overflowing every moment in all possible ways. Because abundance really is one of the qualities of God, and God himself or itself, however one wants to look at
herself.
It, herself, is always pouring out her abundance to us. So really, to me, the secret, there are two secrets of abundance. One is to simply get out from under the cloud of negative thinking that really clouds the fact that our lives are full of abundance already if we just stay in present time and we begin to look around. Because I think that one of the ways, I might be getting a little bit ahead of myself here.
You just go for it.
I think one of the ways we kind of get in our own way, which is often the problem with humans, is that we tend to think of abundance as something that we need to get that we don't already have.
And in the future.
And abundance really can be found only in the present moment. And I know to some people that will be a very foreign thing because they might think, oh, well, the present moment isn't so good. I'm depressed or I'm worried about being able to pay my rent or this or that. But, you know, the payment of the rent is probably off in the future at some later date. And I think if every one of us really just examines where we are in our life in this present moment, in the present moment, we have everything that we need in great abundance. It's just that our mind either leaps forward into the future or worries about some pattern in the past playing out. And so the more we stay in present time, the more obvious it becomes that the abundance that we so much feel that we need from other sources is really given to us already. That's why it says in the scriptures, all different scriptures from all different traditions, in one way or the other, will say it's God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom.
And also, before you have called, I have answered.
That's right. So the fact of the matter is that we're not separate from God. God isn't an entity that we can reach out to that will either provide us with something we don't have or that might take something away. But really, we are God. We are part of God. And everything that is God's is ours. And because God is everything, how could we possibly lack? So my feeling about abundance is really that we simply need to work on raising our consciousness, staying out of the wild chain of thoughts that keeps us either trapped in the past or focused on the future, and realize and be tremendously grateful for what we do have in the present moment. And as we do that, actually, the abundance we experience grows and grows and grows and grows. Not because God is giving us more, but because we are simply noticing what's coming towards us all the time and receiving it in a state of deep gratitude. And the other thing, Iris, that my teacher always says is that abundance comes through giving. And I think often in our Western culture in particular, we think of abundance as something we have to get. But all of the great teachers really would say that as you give, you get. And so finding any way in our life that we possibly can to give our gift, whatever our gift might be, is really what primes the pump of abundance. It really is like flowing water through a pipe, because abundance is like the grace of God that's flowing all the time. And if we're the conduit for grace, then we're kind of like an analogy would be like a water pipe. And, you know, maybe that pipe is a little rusty from being constricted by our thoughts. So as we begin to give in whatever way we can, then we're really clearing out our conduit, or we're clearing out that pipe. And as we begin to give, it primes the pump of the flow of the grace. And as we give, we're able to give more, and as we give, we receive. And so it's all a matter of, really, it comes back to what you said at the very beginning of the program, giving our gift.
Well, yes, and I think it's also giving our gift and not waiting to get paid for it.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, the other thing, Iris, I think that I find in my work, and that you probably always find in your work with people too, is just that so often people wait because they think that they have to get somewhere in the future in order to be able to give, or that they have to acquire enough money to do that, or that they have to develop some talent that they don't have now. But I think any one of us, if we look around in our life, there are always ways to give. You know, you could simply walk out in your yard with a bag of birdseed and throw it on the ground for the birds, and that would be giving. If you're working as a waitress in a restaurant, you can give by making the service of people, serving them their food, a divine gift, treating them kindly, and even the people that pick up the garbage, that job is just as important as the job that a brain surgeon has, because, you know, if no one picked the garbage up, we'd be in a terrible mess. So each one
back
of us...
Back in the plague times.
That's right. Each one of us has an incredible sacred gift to give that's right with us already where we are.
You know, it reminds me of a story one of my teachers told that was so wonderful, and I've seen people do this. She said, you won't know that you're doing your divine plan until it is so joyful for you that you would pay people to let you do it.
Yes.
And she said that there was this man that wanted to be a clown, and he wanted to be a clown, but he didn't want to travel. He didn't want to leave his wife. He didn't want to go. He didn't want to live in a tent, and besides that, nobody would pay him for doing it. So he started just dressing up as a clown and going out on the streets and just playing with people, clowning around.
That's wonderful.
Yes, and what a gift to make people laugh and smile. And
it's one of the things the world needs the most.
Yeah, and you know. In Berkeley, there was this guy for years and years that every morning he would go out in this real congested area, and he'd wear white gloves, and he would wave and smile and say good morning to people, and that's all he did. And people shared that it made such a difference in their day that they looked forward to him, and some people, that's the only person that really connected with them.
That's right. I think I know that person. He spent time also in the area of Reno, Nevada, and he got to be known as the Waver.
Yes.
Absolutely, absolutely a gift of service.
He
was giving abundance in the most incredible way.
Yes. And so I think it's important, like, I want to encourage people to press yourself into service. And
yes.
I don't mean that as a, you know, as a strain or something hard or anything. I'm just saying, you know, for me, prosperity is quitting your day job.
That's it.
It's doing what you came to do and being opulent and free. To me, prosperity is freedom.
That's right.
I spend my time absolutely as I choose. And it's the greatest service I can think of doing.
Yes. And we really, really all can do that. I mean, sometimes if you haven't practiced it for a while, it can seem to be a little bit of a scary thing. So you can begin in a little way with the bird seed or by giving a gift to a friend, giving someone a ride. But the more you do it, the more joy you begin to feel and the more abundance you begin to feel flowing through you. And then, like Iris says, at some point, your entire life becomes a living gift. So that every single breath you take and everything you do becomes a gift of giving. And then you really forget yourself in the giving, and all of the thoughts and worries about the past or the future dissolve, and your life simply becomes more and more beautiful and more abundant. And then it becomes catching. Everywhere you go, people catch the abundance bug from you.
It's highly contagious.
It's highly contagious.
So kiss me quick.
Yeah.
Well, have you ever read that poem? Last night I went out and danced among the stars, and I caught this bug of eternal bliss, and it's highly contagious. So kiss me quick.
That's beautiful.
I have that written down someplace. That's a rough
I love that.
Estimation of what it is. But, Sharon, I don't want to change the subject. This is all about prosperity, but I want to share sort of what my definition of prosperity is, and it's very much in alignment with what you said, and it's that every idea I have, everything I create and manifest, from the very idea, from the thought of it to the every step in bringing it forth, just spills over blessings and joy to everyone it touches and prospers everyone it touches, everyone and everything it touches. And not only does it not hurt anybody, but it raises all life so
yes.
that it becomes a continual and eternal blessing. And to me, that's what prosperity really is.
Absolutely.
My good is not separate from a cat's good. It is not separate from someone in another country who's another religion, who's another color, or who's another tribe. Or it's not separate.
Right.
And I sort of look at it like I became more aware when I became a mother.
Like yes.
I started looking around at cat mothers and dog mothers and cow mothers, and mothers just love their children.
That's right.
And
unconditionally.
And I saw that my children's good isn't like, if I truly love my child, I love the children.
That's right.
And I love all the moms.
Yes. Human and non-human.
Yes. And I honor them and respect them and uphold their wish to be free.
Yes.
And, you know, when I came to your office one day and I saw that banner that said, "May all beings be free," to me, that's what prosperity is, that what I do frees and uplifts all life. Talk about that a little bit.
Well,
you gave me one, and I love it.
I agree absolutely, completely, and I think the only thing that I could possibly add to that is just that really we are all free already. It's just that we have forgotten it or we don't believe it anymore. So I think we need to constantly remind ourselves that we are free. We're free to give lavishly. Other beings are free to receive our love and to give their love. And just reminding one another that we absolutely are free. And I think as human beings, the more we recognize our own freedom and ability to give and do what we want and create the life we want, the more we really will automatically look around and wish the very same for every living creature. Not only other people and other animals, but all of nature, the trees, the plants, everything. Because
yes.
it spills over, and when you talk about that beautiful quality of mothering, Iris, and how you begin to really regard all mothers with the same love and affection that you feel yourself in mothering your own children, don't you also sometimes feel that when you're working in your garden and you see all the little flowers starting to bloom, or a little plant giving off a shoot and another one starting? It's like all of nature really is in a state of reproducing and mothering and fathering all the time.
And giving.
And so the more you look around you, the more you just see it's this tremendous circle of giving.
Woohoo! And you worked with Joel Goldsmith, right?
I did. You know, I never really met Joel Goldsmith because...
Oh, I thought you did.
No, I wish I had, but I feel like I know him because I made a a study of his work. Well, this is probably about the 30th year. I really got a hold of everything that he had ever written and a lot of unpublished transcripts and things. I just adore not only his teachings, which can be found in other traditions and things, but he just has the most uplifting, wonderful way of writing. It's just, to me, inspiring. And that reminds me of another point that I think is really important. I think that a lot of people, because maybe of the way their life is manifesting in the moment or the way they're looking at it and not able to see the abundance, one of the things that I think is so critical to life itself and to creating abundance and happiness is to really, first thing in the morning, before you begin to do whatever you're going to do during the day, to just sit up in bed or sit up in your place where you do your prayers or your meditations and think of all the things that you're grateful for and read something inspirational, just some little quote, or open a book at random and read something, because whatever it is you wake up with is the thing that's going to set the tone for the day. And so I often read something of Joel Goldsmith's in the morning. And then again, I think in the evening when we go to sleep, I mean, going to sleep in a sense is like a little death. We really do leave our body and travel in the astral dimensions. And if just before falling to sleep, we also think about all the things we've been grateful for during the day and some uplifting thought, then we really go into our sleep time and our dream time in a very positive state. And then when we wake up in the morning, we'll wake up with that prosperity tone and loving tone already with us. So the first thing in the morning and the last thing at night, I just think, are especially important.
Yes, and they're completions. They're a circle.
That's right.
To do that, I think that's a very important point. And I do that. And not only do I do that, but I just say, Father, Mother, God, I am. I am presence of God in me. I give myself completely to you. You make this day your divine desires manifest, not only in me, but all the conditions around me and on earth. And I do that prayer, and I want to do the prayers for the animals today too, and the violet flame. I think that's very important for the planet and all life.
Let's do
on it. But I do that prayer that that you taught me, and I'll just kind of paraphrase it here, because I find it changes every day. Even if I'm reading it, it
that's
changes.
That's the best.
Yeah, it is.
To let it change.
Yes, because it is, you know, you sort of bring forth your desires in it. And
right.
I think that it's really important that each of us claim what we desire for the planet. You know, this is our yard.
That's right.
And we're the caretakers and we're responsible for it. So the prayer is, today my day shall be filled. I am master of my day. My day shall be filled only with divine love, divine light, divine joy, divine abundance of every good thing. And everyone I connect with shall be filled only with divine love, divine light, divine joy, divine abundance of every good thing, divine timing and order. And all discord and disharmony shall be dissolved and healed forever. And may the world this and every day be filled only with divine love, divine light, divine joy, divine harmony, divine abundance of every good thing, divine timing and order. May all discord and disharmony be dissolved and healed forever. And may the lion lie down with the lamb.
Yes.
And then I hold that picture. And I would like you to explain again what the importance is of holding that picture.
Well,
ask people to do that with us.
The important thing about holding the picture of the lion and the lamb laying together really is important whether people have a particular connection with animals or not, because to me it represents more than any other image in an incredibly cross-cultural way. The peace that's possible in this moment on Earth.
You know, Sharon, I'm having a little trouble hearing you.
Oh.
Check all your connections and everything.
Is that better?
Yes, that's much better.
Great.
Good.
I think that the importance of the image of the lion and the lamb laying together is it's very cross-cultural. It represents the peace that's possible in this moment on Earth between peoples, between species of animals. To me, everything is contained in that image. And really, all of the wonderful spiritual teachers, Joel Goldsmith, Buddhist teachers, Hindu teachers, Sufi teachers, Christian scriptures, all talk about the day that the lion and lamb will lay down together, that the oxen and the predatory animals will eat hay. And I think really that that's not only a metaphorical statement, but it really represents the actual truth of what will happen if enough of us hold that image, that we will literally see that happen, that no creature will harm each other. People will not harm each other. Different species of animals will not harm each other. And really, there will come a day not only when creatures won't have to eat one another, but really we will have the capacity to live on light and energy and love itself.
Woohoo! And we will have the ability to just draw forth from universal substance and have appear in our hand whatever we desire.
That's right.
And a great deal of that takes place already.
It does take place unnoticed. That's right.
It's unnoticed. Well, one of my questions is, this is sort of how I handle. I have five cats, and they're pretty privileged, but they won't eat non-meat except for an occasional piece of fruit or something, a potato chip. But what I do is I give them baby food, and
mm-hmm.
when I open it, I just pray for a higher way for the chicken and the cat.
Yes.
Because, Sharon, I don't like to be in any situation. I don't like to contribute to anything where I'm contributing to the pain of any being.
Nor do I.
Or the death of any being. But how have you handled that with your cat, Lily?
Well, Lily actually has been with me for 23 years, so 23 years ago, I actually knew less than I know now because, like everyone else, I'm growing and learning as I go along. Lily was born feral, so when she came to me, she had already been living out in the wild, sustaining herself on mice and whatever else she could find. So, like your cats, at 23 years old, she eats baby food, chicken, turkey, that kind of thing. And I don't feel with Lily that it would be, in her fragile condition, that it would be appropriate to change her at this point. So I do the same thing that you do. I bless the chickens. I bless Lily. I ask for the grace to flow to those beings wherever they are that have given their lives so that Lily can eat. But I can honestly say, Iris, that any other cat or dog or animal that comes into my life in the future, it's not that I would force them to be vegetarian, but I just feel that because of the way my life is unfolded, just in the way you're saying that you don't want to contribute to the suffering of other beings, I'm sure that the next animal that comes to me will be able to exist beautifully on a vegetarian diet. Because as our consciousness changes and evolves and becomes more sensitive to the suffering of other beings, we really begin to attract that to our life, and the people and animals that are drawn to us will really mirror back to us our own state of consciousness. And I clearly see that with human friends now. I mean, years ago I had friends and acquaintances who ate meat or smoked cigarettes or whatever they did. But if I really think about it now, without even trying, I don't have anyone in my life that I can think of anymore that I spend any amount of time with that isn't vegetarian or that smokes. It's just as I moved away from contact with those kinds of things, the people that were drawn to me also changed or became of a different quality. And I feel that that's really possible with animals too. And I have actually growing numbers of clients that have vegetarian cats that actually do beautifully and live long, healthy lives.
And what do they eat?
They eat vegetables, grains like rice and quinoa, amaranth, tofu. Some of them eat dairy products, others don't. Some eat little bits of cheese and yogurt, things like that. But many, many people have vegetarian cats now. And these are people that haven't forced that on the cats, but have simply, when they were kittens, allowed them to choose their own diet. And they found that the animals really resonated with their own lifestyle. So it is quite possible. And there are also quite a number of really wonderful, reputable companies now that are researching and producing foods and supplements for cats so that they can be on vegetarian diets.
Well, I would like all the information on that. Do you think it's possible to, kind of win them over to that?
I do. I feel that that it may not be possible for every animal because animals, like people, are at different stages of evolution. But I think any of our listeners, or you and I, Iris, our animals could easily adapt to a vegetarian lifestyle because that's the vibration that we live in, and you know what we put out is what we attract. But there are companies, like there's a wonderful company called Evolution that you can easily find on the internet that makes both vegetarian cat and dog food. There's a wonderful man that makes a product called the Ultimate Meal, which is a protein powder, vegetarian protein powder drink for people and animals. And
what is that called?
It's called the Ultimate Meal.
The Ultimate Meal.
It's probably the finest vegan food supplement on the market, and it's all living food and can be given to cats, dogs. You can take it yourself. The man that developed the product, Sam Girard, is a lifelong vegan, and he's a very, very wonderful person. If you go to his website, which I think is called ultimatelife.com,
okay,
you'll find pet foods that he recommends that are vegetarian or vegan. And he's quite a researcher, so he's done a tremendous amount of research and worked with veterinarians and just an all-around good person, and the product is fantastic.
Thank you for that, Sharon. Also, there are websites where you can get cruelty-free products like shoes and purses that aren't leather. Do you know some of those?
The best one that I've found is called Zappos, Zappos.
Okay.
And they're a huge shoe outlet, and not everything that they have is vegan, but they have a huge selection of non-leather shoes and boots.
cute purple with sequins?
No sequins yet, but purple I've found.
Well, you know, I think we have to just keep asking. We want purple sequin boots.
I think we do.
That aren't leather.
That aren't leather.
Purple sequin anything is fine with me.
And there's such wonderful shoes out there now that are non-leather. I mean, you can get, you know, the hug boots that are so popular that are made out of sheepskin. There's now a fabulous vegan version of those. You can't tell the difference. And they're made out of cloth.
Wow.
And, of course, you know, there are shoes like the rubber Croc sandals that are so darling that are all made out of recycled rubber. There's Tevas, more, and also more and more of the old established shoemakers are now offering non-leather varieties. And you're right, Iris, it just takes people asking.
Yes, there's also sort of a false opulent consciousness about wearing furs or leather that I have noticed. In fact, I had one prosperity teacher that wore furs and leather a lot, and she said nothing screams opulence like leather pants. But
she doesn't have any idea of how much prosperity she'd have if she didn't wear the leather.
Really? Also, you know, just recently, someone said something to me about buying a $4,000 black leather full-length coat, you know, like they had in The Matrix. And I thought, how depressing to wear a corpse in the color of death.
Right.
And, you know, have it cover your whole body. And I think that that's one of the reasons so many people are taking Prozac.
I do, too. And you look at some of these young people that are into this kind of gothic look where they all wear black and leather. You know, you really, when you wear a leather coat or something like that, it's not only that you're wearing a corpse, but you're also surrounding your body and your energy field and all of the suffering that those animals underwent at the time of their death. So you're absolutely right.
And there's also anger, rage, fear.
All of that.
Yeah.
Not to mention all they use horrible chemicals in the leather tanning process. So you're literally poisoning your physical body and you're poisoning your energy field.
So, I mean, I just want to encourage people not to do that. One of the things I just heard that I was horrified by was that the cotton, I love cotton, and the cotton industry uses 90% of the pesticides.
Right.
In farming, and then that people take on those pesticides from wearing them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were recommending hemp and bamboo clothing.
Right.
And I recommend organic cotton. And I just like it to be easier to get these kind of things.
I think that it is getting easier, Iris, and it goes back to something really important that you said, is that we really do need to ask. We need to go to the shoe companies or write them a letter or an email or the clothing company and ask them for the things that cause the least destruction to life and the environment. And I think, you know, the other thing is, the big thing that we can do is to simply not buy things in excess. I think in our culture, most of us have way more than we need. I mean, I like beautiful clothing. I mean, I like clothing that's a beautiful color, that has a nice movement to it. But I'm like you are, Iris. I like just a few nice things.
Yeah.
And I think that if we don't overbuy, if we buy a few nice things that are consciously chosen and stick with those things, that does a tremendous amount of good as far as protecting the environment and other creatures.
Well, you know what else, Sharon? I had a prosperity teacher that said to experience enough, clear away excess. And I have found that it's real important to me to ask, you know, I used to keep all kinds of things around that weren't really me, that I didn't really like,
right,
because somebody gave them to me or because I didn't know what to do with them. And now, if I have anything around me that doesn't thrill and delight me and make me smile, or I just don't notice it anymore and it's gathering dust,
move it along.
Right. I look at it and I say, this belongs to God. How can I spread the most love and light with it?
That's beautiful. And really, there's a way that we can be abundant with what we already have by just letting go of things that really aren't serving us anymore. And whenever we let go of something, it creates a space or a vacuum which draws something else.
That's appropriate for now.
Yes, that's right.
That's a blessing for now.
That's right.
And also, everything that's given from a heart of love must have at least a tenfold return. At least.
At least. At the very least.
Okay, so how do you think that the way we treat animals affects our personal prosperity?
Well, I think to really have prosperity in abundance, and of course I have to go back to qualifying that by the words of Joel Goldsmith, who would say abundance is, it's just that we have to recognize it. But the way that we get out of our own way as far as recognizing the abundance that already exists in our life, and by getting that flow of abundance moving out from ourselves and in through the flow of grace, really has to do with honoring and respecting and being tremendously grateful every moment for life in all of its different aspects, whether it's another person, a dog, a cat, a horse, a cow, and how can we better appreciate them by allowing them to live healthy, abundant, full lives too. So it absolutely goes together. I mean, we can't just think that we can somehow acquire abundance for ourselves and not think of other creatures. It really all does go together. And I think that we have to remember that with any of these topics that we discuss on your program, using abundance as our topic today, that there's always a personal and a collective level on which things are happening. And so on a personal level, we each want to make our life as beautiful and prosperous and giving and non-harming as we possibly can. And if we do that, then we're acting in our life as an example for other people, which then begins to shift and change everyone we come in contact with, and little by little the collective consciousness changes. People become more loving, less harmful, there's more abundance, and that positive abundant circle starts. And I just think with the treatment of animals also, when you think about all of the billions of animals that are put to death for various reasons every single day, it creates a band of energetic suffering that surrounds the earth, that makes all of us depressed, that puts a damper on the flow of abundance. So if enough of us begin to change and simply say, no, we don't want these animals to suffer anymore, you know, it goes back to your comment about speaking out for what you want and what you don't want, then really that band of suffering will lift and dissipate from the earth, and everything and everyone will be abundant, and the earth will again become a Garden of Eden.
Well, yes, and it's very important to vote with your dollars.
Yes, it is.
It's very important to vote with your dollars. In fact, I'm asking for a legislation that that says when you file your income tax return, you can say, I will contribute to this, I will not contribute to this.
I agree.
In fact, I want to send a letter every time I send my taxes in that says, please don't use this for any bullets, don't use this to kill anybody, don't use this to experiment on any animals. And when I buy cosmetics from a cosmetic company, and I'm especially strict about this with the big companies,
yes,
you know, that don't maybe have the cruelty-free seal.
Right.
I call them up and I email them and I say, this is what I want to know. Do you use animal testing? And also, do you buy products from any lab that does animal testing? I think we have to be responsible with the way we spend.
We absolutely do, and it's very, very important for people to do this. And it can all be done in the most loving way, by saying what we do want rather,
yes,
than what we don't want.
Yes, and what I want is that which is fun and joyful and happy and prosperous and freeing and uplifting for all life. That's what I want.
Yes.
That's what I'm asking for. That's what I'm talking about.
That's beautiful, and that's what we should all ask for. And as we ask, so shall we receive.
Well, Sharon, we have, yes, and so it is.
And so
we
it
have
is.
We have about 9 minutes. I want to do the prayers for the animals. I want to tell people how they can reach you, and I want to be sure and thank you for being with us.
Oh, it's always so much fun. I just love being on your program.
I love it, too. So what should we start with? Should we tell people how they can reach you?
Well, I can be reached most easily through my website, which is www.annaflora.com, and people can email me directly from there. And I can be reached by telephone at 530-926-1245.
Thank you, Sharon. And
how can people reach you?
Miracles, MIRACLESHP, like short for happen, at yahoo.com. And also they can write to me at P.O. Box 903 in Alamo, California, 94507. Sharon, I want to be sure we do our prayers. We have 7 minutes. But I also wanted to ask you about the Peace and Freedom Bunny Coalition. I had 4 bunnies that wanted to start the Peace and Freedom Bunny Coalition, and gave them a great big area to play and have done everything I could to make them free and happy. And they started to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And so I refused to write down their peace and freedom messages that they wanted to give to people. But is this... And Bunzel Washington got a new home with someone who adores him, and he adores.
That's what it was all about.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
And so the other three are fine together?
The other three seem to be absolutely fine together.
Oh, good. I'm very happy. Well, I'm willing to... Bunananda wanted to write a column, an advice column for humans and rabbits. And have me write it down. And I started doing that, and then I wouldn't write down anything for them when they were acting like that.
Good for you.
Well, do the prayers for the animals, would you?
I would like to do the prayer. This is a prayer that Iris came up with when we were visiting the Humane Society in Mount Shasta. And when we walked in, there were three of us, and we all had various feelings about the animals that didn't have homes. And so this is the prayer that came through in that situation for the animals in the shelter. But it's very useful for people in any situation where they see animals in need or people in need. And it goes like this. Every time I connect with or am aware of anything less than the perfect health, happiness, freedom, and divine bliss, the source of all life, intended for all beings, a million minds are awakened, and a million beings are released forever and healed of all cause, effect, record, and memory of those conditions. A violet flame vortex of ever-expanding divine perfection is now established, invincibly expanding and eternally sustained, every day eternally creating more joy, more beauty, more harmony, more freedom, more happiness, and the abundance of every good thing for all beings on earth. A man, a women, a children, animals, and all living things. We give thanks that each animal is now delivered into the heart and hands and loving, gentle care of responsible, kind humans who nurture and support their happiness, well-being, and freedom, and who receive and know the precious, unique, and divine gift they are. There is a perfect home for every animal, and we call them forth now, and we do give thanks, and so it is.
Woohoo! And so it is.
And so it is.
You know, and that's a prayer that you can do for yourself, because it's so overwhelming to go to a shelter where there's so many animals that don't have homes.
That's right.
And you just want to take them all home.
I've been doing this prayer every single morning, and I just find it incredibly powerful. It's one of the things I've been doing to start my day.
Me too, Sharon. It's very important. And I wanted to say, when we went to that animal shelter, even though I already had 5 cats, I came home with another kitty. And he is a little angel, and his mission is for all animals to be treated the same way that he is. And we call him the little treasure. And he is so precious. I'll sing you his song. He has a song. You're the treasure that we adore. You're the treasure and so much more. You're the treasure. You're the treasure. A treasure and so much more.
Yeah. Does he do a little dance with that?
Yeah. Sometimes.
I can just see it.
And it's true. And after I do all of the other prayers that we've been doing for the animals, then I ask that every animal everywhere is loved and cherished and treasured and cared for and respected and honored and appreciated the way he is.
Yes, yes, and so be it.
And so it is. And not only animals, but people too.
Yes.
There is a home for every living being, and
absolutely,
we call them forth now. And we call forth prosperity and freedom and joy and upliftment of all life. And we thank you for being with us, and we ask you to join us in these prayers. And you can get copies of them if you email Sharon or me. We'd be happy to give you copies of them. And next week, we're going to have another prosperity teacher. I'm not sure who it is, but we're going to do a several-part series on prosperity to support your prosperity and all your dreams come true.
Yes.
Thank you for being with us, Sharon.
Thank you for having me, and thank you to all the listeners.
And thank you. God bless you, and may all your dreams come true and be 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible. Amen, women, and yee-haw!
Yee-haw! Bye-bye.
Bye.